little emotion. Not a lot, just a little. I hate these headphones. Okay. Asked which superhero he would be, Governor President Scott Walker says he's torn between Captain America and Captain Underpants. Well, what do you know? Good, a little dragging.
Live from Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome Wisconsin psych rock band Dolores, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who made me what I am today, Michael Feldman.
I should have worked more at it. I should have put a little more effort into it. So Rand Paul was asked the same question, you know, superhero question. He said he wanted to be Ant-Man. Actually, he didn't say he wanted to be Ant-Man. He said he was Ant-Man. So that sort of figures. Donald Trump asked the same question, said it would be a demotion to be a superhero. Okay, anyway. In other news that isn't, the court rules that immigrants must be deported in the order that they arrived. So the English are the first out. It's going to take a while, though, because they breed like flies, those English. Ireland votes for Aaron Go Boys. Vatican says the Irish vote is, quote, a defeat for humanity, but one small step for the priesthood. I know I'm going to hear about it. It's the only way I could work that out. So far, the only move that slumping McDonald's has made is leaving the Hamburglar to the Cleveland police. I'm killing them. This is a roll for me.
Better than normal, yeah.
President Obama takes bold executive action to protect America's drinking water, so I'm not drinking this stuff anymore because, well, you know his bold executive action. Bristol Palin status, another one bites the dust. Pretend. This is all about pretending radio. You pretend that you just overreact and enjoy it. I meant to tell you that in the warm-up. I ran out of time. The Milwaukee Brewers called the Iraqi Army of Baseball. Iraqi Army files formal protest. George Pataki announcement sends everyone running to Google. Pretty sure he was a tank commander in World War II. Apple Watch Life Minutes app allows you to buy life minutes from Apple Store, so that's actually extend your life that way. But it's pricey, I'll be honest with you. Sepp Blatter is Swiss for Dick Cheney. A lot of bribery going up, I guess, in international soccer is going on. In fact, Putin reportedly bribed Sepp Blatter with a Super Bowl ring that he lifted off the hand of the Patriots guy.
Yeah, right? That's where that went.
Yeah, that's where it went. Paid off, though. I thought something was fishy when Pyongyang got the World Cup. You know, that was, what are the odds on that? After cleaning up global football, the U.S. has vowed to clean up global goat's head polo. That's next on the list. Reinvented Rick Santorum means he probably will not mention people marrying their dogs this time. Because that's reinvention. Even as a kid, though, he was known as Sick Rantorum. Work it out. Works out. Switch your letters around. We'll see. I saw a down-and-out NSA guy sitting at the intersection with a sign, "Will work for metadata." Maybe if you laughed more off mic.
I think I should move back. I'm sorry.
Kind of drowns out the audience reaction. I'm getting used to the silences. You know. Okay, all right, I don't care. I thought it was funny. Google's solar-powered drone crashes on first cloudy day. Snapchat brings in $538 million from investors. Unfortunately, 7 seconds later, it disappears. Canadian creationist discovers 60-year-old T-Rex. Thank you. There's a specific text that will brick your iPhone, and I'm guessing it's lol. Or repeated lols in caps. And that will actually brick your... Try it. See if it bricks your iPhone. It could be OMG or LMAO. One of them does it, I'm for certain. The mother went to jail rather than have her son circumcised has been released. I say wait till it has a mind of its own and let it decide. Editorial. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Thank you. I feel a little bit better. And finally, here in Wisconsin, Governor President Walker and the legislative follies of 2015 downgrade the University of Wisconsin to the University of Herzing. And that's all the news that is, and thank you so much. The Herzing Badgers. And speaking of Governor President Walker, in case you were on his recent trade mission to Israel, trade mission, well, cheese for Seder plates, I guess, kind of thing. He went to Israel, but he would not allow the press to come along with him. He said instead he would blog what he found in the Holy Land. And we, as a matter of fact, we have that with you this morning. This is the Governor President's blog from Israel.
Oy, what a trip. They is mayor. 16 hours on Wisconsin Air National Guard C-120. I wouldn't wish on a dog. My tuchus hurts so bad I stand and hold a strap for 5,000 miles. Molotov! But who boy, what a reception at Ben-Gurion, the airport. Like I'm a Gurion, Bibi calling me mine imbecile Shabbos goy. For it's Baruchah to turn on the shul lights, put down the sheets, sweep, and close up after. So much galactor when I asked for a bigger yarmulke to cover my bald spot. We laughed all the way to the Wailing Wall. Not so good I mixed Wisconsin cheese mit Wisconsin sausage, which for shtuken a pork sausage, but Israelis very forgiving unless transgress you should in a biblical sense. The Jesus Calling book for Bibi, less of joyous reception than expected, given Savior's background. But still, I'll throw it on the pile, a good response. Have to say, I felt like I was among my Miss Polka. Anyhow, my Teva, the if I was a rich man, doidle, 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 dee. That surprised more than a few in Jerusalem at the very gate. Jesus walked through, now bricked up. What, I say to them, you expecting maybe a toy coming? Lol, lol, lol. Which is the same in Hebrish. Meanwhile, the Japanese rabbi joke, don't rook Jewish, not so good. Everybody with the sensibilities these days. More I write when time I have. Everybody BTW blogs here. They call it verblungent. Shalom, hello, peace, and goodbye, schmucks. Tavy, Tavia, Tavia.
Wonderful. That's an exclusive. And that's all the news that really is. And thank you so much, Governor President Walker. Very moved by his Israeli trip, obviously. Moved me to tears. To hear it, actually.
Me too.
Yes. That was very good. Is Dolores here? I haven't seen. Is there a band here? Oh, that's you guys back. You're Dolores? Oh, you're Dolores. Let's bring Dolores right out here. Ladies and gentlemen, have you heard Dolores? A local band that's making waves. Wherever waves are made, they're making them. How are you? Good to see you. Hello, Dolores. Sounds like a musical from 1946 or something. Which one of you is Dolores? All of you are Dolores? Is it a Spanish pun? Like Dolores means like the plural of pain?
Yeah. We get those pains.
I want to write a song called Dolores is the Plural of Pain. Can you help me with that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, are you the songwriter?
One of them.
Yeah. Okay. And which one are you then?
My name's Javier.
It's Javier?
Javier.
Oh, Javier. Okay, nice to meet you. And can you introduce the band here behind you?
This is Willie on bass.
Hey, how you doing?
This is Adam on keys.
That's Adam back there.
And we got Teddy back here on the drums.
Very good. How long has Dolores been a band? How long have you been psychedelic?
We've been psychedelic our whole lives, but we've been a band for about a year now.
Yeah. Were you always psychedelic, or is it a natural thing, or something your parents took?
Yeah.
Psychedelia is back now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it
but
is.
But is it drugless psychedelia? Because I get the feeling that a lot of people who are psychedelic really have never done acid that much. I'm not speaking of you guys. I mean, I've seen some other psychedelic bands. So. What's your take on that?
Yeah.
Do the words sunshine came softly through my window today mean anything to you? Right over your hand? Okay. Love the music. What's the new EP is out? What's it called?
It's called Peach Fuzz.
Okay. Is there a story behind that?
It just sounded cool to us. Okay. We all didn't hate it.
We all didn't hate it?
That's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, I love that. There's a song in that, too. We all didn't hate it. What do you got for us here?
We're going to play a song called Hear You Walking. Yeah. And then we're going to play another song called Pleased to Meet You.
Okay. Play one first, then play the other.
Okay. Sounds good.
Oh,
good. More distortion. You need more distortion. Can you pump up the distortion? Because you pulled back from the feedback there, and I thought that was a mistake. You embrace the feedback. So it sounds really good, Javi. I like that. One of your songs? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Very nice sound. Very nice sound. Like it. More distortion, though, I'm telling you.
Okay. We'll pump it on the next one.
Yeah. Okay, and this next one is called...
Pleased to Meet You.
Pleased to Meet You. Dolores, once again, ladies and gentlemen. Willie Christensen, Adam Thien, Teddy Matthews. Thank you, guys. That was great.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
the mail. My glasses.
Once again, the mail. Michael Feldman.
They're progressive. I have to say my glasses are more progressive than I am sometimes. I don't even know anymore. I didn't get a chance to look through the cards here, so I'm just going to randomize them. That's why I've never actually done this before.
That sounds dangerous.
That's just a random card.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Randomizing. Okay, absolutely randomized. I'm still analog. Can't do random analog. It's hard to do. We have friends visiting from California. Can you explain to them what is falling from the sky? Angie Dressen, however, is from Shakopee, Minnesota. And Angie is retired and asks, how are you? Random. I'm saying random. I didn't pick this up. But now I want to meet you, Angie, Dressen. There she is. Angie Dressen, ladies and gentlemen, from Shakopee, Minnesota. Come on down, Angie Dressen from Shakopee. What did you retire from, Angie?
State of Minnesota.
From the whole state?
I worked.
You're still in it, though, aren't you?
I worked for them, yes.
Mm-hmm. I just get sick of the whole state and say, I'm getting out of here.
This is true. Yes, I did.
That's why you're here?
Yes.
Don't you find it such a relief to be in Wisconsin? Well, not so much anymore.
I do. I'm here visiting my niece and her husband.
Oh, hi, niece. How are you? Does she have a name? You just call her your
Amanda.
Niece? Amanda, okay.
And Ben is her husband.
And Ben. Hi, Ben. How you doing? And who are they to you?
My niece and my niece-in-law. Nephew-in-law.
Ben, you like being a niece-in-law? Is that something you always dreamed of? Okay. Where's Shakopee? Place it for me.
It's about 30 miles south of the metro of Minneapolis. Shakopee.
I knew I'd get it wrong no matter what I said. I thought I'd brave it through and say Shakopee. It's Shakopee?
Shakopee.
Shakopee, named after?
An Indian chief, I believe.
Okay. Ed Shakopee?
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you doing now with all your time, all the time on your hands?
Visiting my niece. And
no, I don't mean like, you know, for the next few hours. I mean like.
I have three children, and they all have children, so lots of grandma things.
You're doing lots of grandma things? Are you like on the road a lot as grandma? Are they all in Shakopee?
No, only one is in Shakopee. The other ones are in Florida and Missouri, so a lot of times on the road. And
okay, one always has to do the duty, right? Yeah. Stay behind. Very nice to meet you, Angie. Anything else? Anything I can answer for you?
Well, just how are you? Are you
good?
Are
good.
Good. Yeah, okay.
Back is bothering me again and stuff. The usual aches and pains, but I
get you a new chair for up there.
The chair is, you know, that's Naga hide. That's from an old. It's supposed to be like a Hojo set. Well, look at it. It's orange Naga hide set there. That's like Hojo.
The 60s. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the psychedelic music, I tell you, I was transported. I was having flashbacks. Were you there for the 60s?
I was. I wasn't.
Were you far out?
No.
Come on. In Shakopee, you must have been far out in Shakopee.
No, I wasn't.
How far out did you go?
Not too far.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you for being here. Sorry for grilling you. I felt like I was grilling her. I didn't mean to. I just liked Angie right off the bat. Have you ever been sailing, Rita Stans, Jordan, Minnesota? Who hasn't been sailing? Come on. Ben Stein, the guy from TV? Oh, that's Ben Stein. The niece-in-law. You want to, let's just say hello to Ben, because he's suffered some humiliation here. And Ben, are you okay with that?
Yeah, I think you can handle it.
What are you doing these days, Ben?
Well, like I said, I'm trying to make my wife happy with limited success.
Didn't read that part, or I wouldn't have come to talk to you. Because that's something I know nothing about.
Well, it's only been a year, so I'm figuring it out.
What kinds of things are you doing?
Well, I think Jimmy Squares from Century are a big satisfier.
That's all it takes for Amanda? Really, that's fantastic.
I'm telling you, sweets, it's way to go.
Yeah. Okay. And job-wise or whatever you...
Oh, well, I mean...
Jobs?
Trying to keep her happy is a full-time occupation. So, I keep my focus on... Eye on the prize.
Good man. Let's get Ben a bottle of wine or something. That'll work with Amanda.
Okay. I think we can do that. We'll make springtime dining immeasurably more delightful with fine Wisconsin wines from the Wollersheim Winery.
Yeah. Wine, candy, wine and candy. See you next week sometime. Okay. And Stein. Randy Hegg is here from Iguanago. Oh, you retired. Did you retire from Iguanago, Randy?
No.
Okay, you still in Iguanago?
Yep.
Is there no, there's no sea in Iguanago, is there?
No.
A lot of people don't know that. They think it comes from muck, but it doesn't. It comes from probably an Indian word meaning...
Oh,
well, this is fascinating. Let me just talk to you. Randy, come on down here, Randy. Step on Ben if you can on the way down here. And come through these people from Shakopee or whatever they call them. How are you?
Good.
You're retired too, huh?
Yep.
This is like a retirees club. I'm good now. I'm like, wait.
Everybody I know.
We should just meet and have breakfast somewhere instead of doing all this, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody knows retired?
Yeah. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. You're liking it, though, huh?
You look like
Sportsman.
Yeah, loving it. Loving it.
A lot of golf?
I just started playing golf.
Really? You look like you've been playing it all your life.
Nope. Nope. My brother and sister have. They're pretty good at it, and they give me tips.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. What's your handicap?
34.
I don't think that's very good. I don't really know much about golf.
It's not. It's my second game of golf, so.
Well, for your second game, it's still pretty terrible.
Yeah. I did a lot.
What about racquetball? It's not a racquetball?
No.
What else can you do?
Cut and split firewood. That's my hobby.
That's a sport, though? I mean, you can enter the lumberjack games and do that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid of trees.
You climb a pole with a hatchet. You're afraid of trees?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I should react to some of these things instead of going on to my next thing. You read my brother's question 15 years ago. Do you remember what it was? Oh, yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Well, my brother Roger asked if you knew how the name of Spread Eagle got its name in Wisconsin.
Well, I could hazard a guess, but I don't think it's right.
I have no idea. Oh. Probably something to do with Indians.
That's one possibility. Or with Denny Hastert, possibly. I have no idea. He's not from Wisconsin. He's from Illinois, so I don't think that's it.
No, I don't know.
Spread Eagle, though, also could mean like pinning someone. It's a wrestling hold, isn't it?
Sure.
Why do you, if you don't know the answer, why did, from 15 years
well,
ago,
I figured you'd
why would
that.
I?
It would prompt you to talk to me.
No,
so.
It was random.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, sit down now. And
all right. Enjoy yourself. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for coming. Very nice to meet you. You're a good guy. Randy Hay. Would you pay $209 a pound for a 20-year-old piece of cheddar? That'll be the day. Who wrote that? You wrote that? Did you?
I did.
Holy cow, I gotta meet this guy. Because if I got a cheese, I wanna sell him. I've got some cheese that's been in my refrigerator since, I wanna say, 85. Does that make it expensive?
Yes.
How did you happen to pay $209?
Actually, I didn't pay $209 for a cheese.
Stand up for a second, would you? Because otherwise I have to, my back is... Yeah. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Steve LaBelle.
Correct.
Middleton.
Correct.
And are you a cheese lover?
I am.
A cheese fancier or a lover?
Well, I don't know if I would pay that much for a piece of cheese.
Yeah. Do you find yourself often cutting the cheese at parties?
All the time.
Well, tell me about this cheese then.
Well, Hook's cheese, which is a very famous Wisconsin cheese.
Is that the stuff that gets crystallized?
Well, it depends on how long it's there, but they came out with a 20-year-old cheese this week, and it's already sold out all around the country. And people are...
Maybe more for another 20 years, right?
Probably, yeah. So people are clamoring to get it, and there's none left.
Clamoring to get it.
Yes.
Do you have some?
I have not had any.
Okay. So this is really going nowhere.
Well, no, it's just... There are people.
It's mildly interesting, but it's going.
But people are willing to pay that kind of money for cheese or wine, and I was just curious if you think that something like that would be worth it.
I mean, I've had some of that stuff occasionally. Back, we had the Danish winner of the world cheese thing here one year, and they took a plug out of it. It was worth thousands of dollars. And I said, "Here, try it. I'll try it." And they took a plug. I was aghast. You know, it's like a Picasso over here. It's like, take a swatch. Take a swatch of this Picasso here. See what you think of it. And I tried it, and it was delicious, but, you know, thousands of dollars, I don't know.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, there are some people who would pay that kind of money for fine wine, and they just think it's the incredible, most incredible.
But you're not one of those kind of guys.
Not at that point yet. But I do appreciate good cheese. It's just there's that
line. What's the most you ever paid for a piece of cheese?
Probably $50 a pound.
You're getting there.
But 200's a lot.
You're getting there. Hang in there, Steve.
Thanks.
Anyone more than $50 a pound? Do I hear $60 a pound for cheese? Anyone 60? I guess you win, Steve, by default. Not very adventurous eaters here, I gotta say. Well, I think we have to get ready for the What Do You Know quiz, don't we?
I suppose so.
You gotta be a little more affirmative than that.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea to me.
Okay. And never become a baseball umpire, whatever you do. By the way, don't you hate that now, baseball? Like if they didn't know if the guy actually swung on a pitch, they'll call New York. I don't know. Let's call New York. That'll only take another 10 minutes out of an excruciating slow Cubs game to find out if in New York they thought he swung at that pitch. Don't you agree?
I totally agree.
Totally agree. Stupid.
It's asinine.
Yeah. Take the slowest game in the world and slow it down with recalls from New York. You have to call New York to get a recall.
That's right. Yeah.
It's a travesty. Thank you for agreeing. You are?
Ash Gosain.
Okay. Are you a big ball fan?
I can't stand watching the game. It's so boring.
Yeah. This is going to make it a lot better because people love watching guys standing around a phone talking to New York about some video that's on their phones.
Well, it's a good time to get another beer and a hot dog.
There's plenty of time for that in a Cubs game, I'll tell you. Plus, and my personal grievance is, all right, so I became a Cubs fan when I was down there working at GN for a very brief time. But they let us go into Wrigley Field free. Just wear a little WGN thing. So I was there a lot. Became a Cubs fan. Now GN dropped the Cubs. They don't broadcast the games. You can't see the Cubs. And they have a good team. This could be it. What?
They are on WGN.
Yeah, once every blue moon. You have to go out and look at the night moon. And if it's blue, the Cubs are playing on GN. Oh, yeah, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. A chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply by being fabulous. And can I get you to come here? And you are?
Betsy Ingram.
Betsy, where are you from?
I'm from Sheffield Lake, Ohio, just west of Cleveland.
Sheffield Lake, Ohio?
Yes.
Sounds very nice. Sounds romantic almost.
Well, maybe not, but it's a nice place.
Is there an actual Sheffield Lake?
There is Lake. I'm about half a mile from Lake Erie, which isn't called Sheffield, but it is.
Well, then I'm very confused. Now, you're on Lake Erie. But Sheffield Lake is the name of the town.
Exactly. Yes. So,
but there's no Sheffield Lake per se?
You're correct. We don't have 15,000 lakes in Ohio. We only have one great big one.
Okay. Anyhow, would you like to read this?
I certainly would. The four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, don't understand why I keep getting Taylor Swift news in my inbox. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
All right, don't take that with you. That was unusually good. That was very good. That was a little too good. That was very good. Well done. Let's see the hands of those of you now who care to raise a hand or anything you got there, an umbrella if you have one. Raise it in the air and indicate that you'd like to play the What Do You Know quiz. Much as this gentleman sitting in the back row seems to have walked in with his hand in that position. I'm not sure why that is. Is it in the cast, sir? I can't really tell. Meet me down here. Let's see if you qualify. I'll meet you over there. Meet me down that way. I don't know. No, his hand is not in the cast, I can see now. You may have just been stretching. Were you just stretching?
Yeah, I'm getting old, you know.
So. No, you are? It never happened to me. What's that like? What's your name?
My name is Dominic.
Dominic, are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Are you from out?
But
yeah, fine. Stop with that already.
I'm St. Louis, Missouri.
From St. Louis? You're from St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
what do you do in those parts?
I work at the St. Louis Science Center. I fix the stuff that the kids break. So.
Oh, yeah. Is it a kids' museum or?
Well, it's for all ages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kids of all ages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dominic, give me one good reason you should play this quiz. Don't think about it too hard, Dominic.
I'm afraid I can't, Michael. I just want to.
He just wants to. What's better than that? Come on, Dominic. Come on. Give a little encouragement. He just wants to. Dominic. Have a seat there, Dominic.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. So what can the, kids do there at this place? There,
oh, they do all sorts of stuff.
What things do they break?
Well, they break a lot of the electronic stuff.
Oh, do they?
They break
a lot
of the...
They try to take home components and stuff?
Mm-hmm. They smash them. I've seen the kids tear apart a 100-pound or, you know, a 1,000-pound airline cable, just like rip it in half.
Do they chew through it or like my dog
Well, they haven't been told that they can't do it.
Yeah.
So, somehow they're
able to. Look
to.
At, contemporary parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I never have, but someone should look at it.
Yeah.
And why would they do that?
Fun.
Yeah.
For
airline.
Fun.
What is the airline? It's not connected to an airliner, I presume.
No, you know, if they're holding an object that, like they scan, you know, an object with a scanner.
Yeah.
And it's being held in place with an airline cable. They just automatically assume that it's for ripping apart.
So they're ripping it because they want to walk off. They want to hold the scanner, in theory.
They just want to rip it apart.
Have you spoken? I mean, is that their motive? Maybe it's something else entirely.
Well, it's. I don't mind it because it's a job.
Job security
for me.
Yeah, job security.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I was always taking things apart because I wanted to see, like,
yeah,
I'd take
me too.
Apart
That's
the toaster,
how,
something mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
But always when it was plugged in, so it was always a challenge, you know. So maybe it's that sort of thing. They want to see what's, maybe not. What are some of the other things they can do there besides tear apart an airline?
There's a dig pit, so for archaeology kind of stuff.
They can dig in a pit?
Like plastic dirt, and they dig up, you know, artifacts and bones and that kind of stuff.
Real bones and plastic dirt?
Well,
or vice versa.
Neither are real. But,
okay.
You know, if the kid has a graphic imagination, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're bamboozling this show. Is there an admission to get into this thing?
No. It's part of the Zoo Museum District in St. Louis,
and
all because of a tax tax code, the zoo, the St. Louis Science Center, the museums, they're all free and open to the public.
Cool. Sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed there's a prestige in a saxophone on your chest. Does that mean you're a sax player?
Yes, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
I knew there was something about you.
Well, I was here like 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And
did you have your axe with you?
No, I didn't. And you said, oh, that's great. Thank you.
Did you have your axe with you?
No, I didn't.
No, neither one, huh?
Right.
Okay, and are you playing in a band now, or playing around, or just for your own?
Yeah, I've been playing for about since I was about 15, and I'm 57 now, so that's
a long time.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. Are you getting it yet or not?
I'm still curious as to how it works.
Yeah.
So I mean, I put my mouth on one part of it, and sound comes out the other, and I move my fingers around, and boom, done.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah,
that's a tough one though, saxophone, isn't it? I mean, because the reed is everything, right?
You gotta
love your reed, don't you?
The reed's everything, but
it's the tone.
It's nice because I prefer the older pipes as far as tone is concerned. For this trip, as a matter of fact, I came up to inherit a pipe from my niece's.
When you say a pipe now, you don't mean.
I mean a saxophone.
Yes, okay. I don't know all the jargon.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
But I inherited a 1934, we think it's 1934, Kahn from Elkhart, Indiana.
Kahn, K-A-H-N?
C-O-O-N.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And
Well, the Kahn Instrument Company is very famous, isn't it?
The gentleman that my niece's godfather, played it all through the war.
Oh.
And
on our side or theirs?
Ours, I believe. Yeah. most definitely ours. I shouldn't say I believe because I know. Yeah. Anyway, but
did he play during the war? That'd be kind of dangerous.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
He played before, like in resistance jazz bands, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Fighting the fascists, to say in its own little way.
This pipe fights fascists.
Yeah. I'm going to get a little sticker for it. Alan would be proud.
Very good. Well, Dominic, you know the quiz here works?
I sure do.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Do they?
You know how this works?
Yeah. Actually, if people...
Am I the only one who keeps forgetting how this works?
No.
How does this work?
Well, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NOW or 1-800-WACK-NOW with a K. And they can answer this qualifying question, which you will now ask.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
See, after dismembering the state and selling the parts, the Wisconsin legislature lightened up a bit by proposing what innovative hunting advance? Innovation in hunting. You know, they just having some fun right in the middle of all this. What is that innovation in Wisconsin in hunting proposed? Let's go right now to Greensboro, North Carolina, where they're bound to not know. Right, Craig? You don't know what this is, right?
I think I did hear about this.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. Is it something about the color?
Could be.
Okay. They can wear, I think instead of blaze orange, they get to wear pink. Or that pink is acceptable.
Blaze pink? You're talking about blaze pink?
Well, I guess so.
Yes, that's right, Craig. Unbelievable. I wouldn't have thought you'd know that out there in Greensboro, North Carolina. Are you a hunter?
I'm not a hunter. I think I heard that on NPR one morning.
Well, that figures. They always get everything first over there. I hate that. Blaze pink.
Hey, Michael, and I have actually met in person once under kind of funny circumstances.
Oh, boy. What was it?
You were on Michael Palooza, and you were on the bus tour, and you were staying at the farm of a coworker of mine, and so she invited some people up for a cookout. And,
yeah, were you there? That was one of the best times ever. Remember, John?
Well, apparently for you, that it was. And I was on my way up, and I've always thought that one of the underappreciated things about your show is the preparation you do when you have an author or a guest on. So I was thinking of these very insightful questions to ask to make a connection with you, and I got there, and I said, hey, Michael, do you ever have a guest who gets on, an author or a guest that just doesn't understand the show and doesn't get it? And you looked at me and you said, oh, yeah, all the time. And then you just kind of looked at me and then you said, and if I hadn't had so much beer, I could probably come up with a couple of examples.
Yeah. I know, but I didn't have to. It wasn't working. I know. But, I'll tell you what it was. It was the moonshine. They brought us moonshine.
A lot of moonshine.
All the neighbors brought their moonshine over there.
Big quarts of moonshine appeared out of the woods.
Yeah. What?
That's
yes.
Really?
And sweet. You could hardly drink the whole jar. It was so sweet. It was like peach.
Some
moonshine.
Of it was peach, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you're supposed to drink the whole jar.
Oh, okay. Now you tell me. Craig, this is Dominic. He's your partner here.
Hi, Craig.
Hi, Dominic.
Hey.
He's a science museum guy from St. Louis and plays, you probably heard that, plays the pipe.
I did hear that.
Yeah. And Craig, what do you do out there in Greensboro?
I work for a nonprofit leadership training outfit called the Center for Creative Leadership.
Oh, great. Are you trying to make a profit and just haven't made one yet?
There's money.
Okay. All right, two of you work as a team. It's collaborative. We have various categories, don't we, Mike?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Craig, what would you like?
In Dominic's honor, I'll pick science.
Right. Science, okay.
Yeah.
He just works there. He doesn't actually know science.
I just fix stuff.
He fixed stuff. All right, if you fall into a small black hole, a small one, One of the following will happen. Will you A, be spit right back out? Will you B, be this far apart from another black hole? Or C, will you be spaghettied infinitely? Your very person will form in a line of spaghetti that never ends, as far as you know.
Craig, I don't know. I'd go with A.
But I think hunters are allowed to wear pink now.
Okay, yeah, let's go with pink.
All right, so which one, where are you leaning on this then?
I'll go with Dominic. He's the science guy.
Yeah. No, you'll be spaghettied. You'll actually be spaghettied. Because of the gravity from the thing will come at you. And so there. That would be...
That would be zero right and one wrong.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Nobody ever loses this quiz. You'd have to be really out of it to lose this quiz.
All right. So
no whole empanada for me, huh?
The remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay.
Odds and ends.
You like to cook, Dominic?
Yes, I do.
You seem like you'd be a guy who would be handy.
I cooked for 15 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you like to, what's your pièce de résistance?
Cajun cooking, like...
Ooh, yes.
I love cooking a big bat of crawfish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Watch them squirm.
Like, do you make an etouffee?
Bye!
Do you make... That was the best crawfish imitation of a goodbye I've ever heard.
That sounds like some good eating.
Do you...
Oh, yeah.
I love it when they say goodbye as you're eating. As you suck the tamale out of their head.
Yeah, that's right. And squeeze the tips.
Please.
Okay.
Do you have an etouffee that's been cooking for the past 10 years?
No, but I...
You're supposed to save it, right? I mean, that's...
I make the killer red beans and rice.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, anyhow, what did you say? Did you want a category?
Odds and ends.
Oh, yes, okay. Oh, pardon me.
Oh, I want?
What? No.
Oh, okay.
We'll take your bags up to the room if you want. Should you leave the umbilical on for a while or shouldn't you? The umbilical cord, I guess, is for people.
I still have mine.
That's why you're in a non-for-profit out there. You know?
I guess that answers that question.
Yeah. What does he need? He's got an umbilical. He doesn't need a profit.
I always hear him say the first thing they do is cut the cord.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Craig then.
I think there's some science about not cutting it. That there's some health benefit to not cutting it quite so.
Right, leave it on. Not as long as middle school, for example.
I'll go with that.
Yes, okay, that's good. That's right. That went. I'd say sixth grade the most. And then.
So we have one right, one wrong, and we have some remaining categories: current events, people, places, and things you should have learned in school.
Okay, back to Craig.
Let's try school.
School it is. This is something you should have learned in school. Had to be paying attention. There is perfect pitch. There's such a thing as perfect pitch, as we know by two movies so far. Is there such a thing as perfect hue? That is someone who can pick out color and the same color, identify it, and under any circumstance. Perfect hue. You show someone just that color, and they'll know exactly what that color is.
Black.
there's that new perfect black
they got out now.
Perfect pitch is a perfect hue. Perfect color.
Dominic, when I got out of college, I worked for a paint company, and we had to go through training to learn how to recognize different colors. Yeah. And some people were really good at it, and some weren't. I'd lean towards a yes on that one.
Okay, that sounds.
But it was difficult, wasn't it?
It was very difficult.
Yeah, so that should give you.
Nobody could do all the people
See,
had
okay,
different skills
could do
of different colors.
So no one
nobody
really had,
could do them all.
No one had perfect hue. Then you're saying.
Saying no. Then.
I mean, there are billions.
Yeah, no. It's very no. You can't. Very good. If all judged, colors are all judged relative to one another.
Billions
so,
of them.
Otherwise,
billions,
we can't do it.
Billions of colors.
Yeah, billions and billions.
That would be two right colors. And one wrong.
Billions.
Right. Two
yes.
right, one wrong.
Whatever you said.
Yeah, and...
You're keeping track,
here's,
aren't you?
Yeah, sure I am. Yeah, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or it's back to middle management for you.
It's could happen any day now.
Yeah, yeah.
Remaining categories are current events, people, and places.
Okay. Dominic.
People.
People it is. People.
Where I like what people? You did oh. there, Michael. Thank you. What that I last question.
Oh.
Very nice.
Gave it to you, you mean?
Well, all right, now, here's the black hole.
Not going to help you on this one. Okay. Presented with three empty stalls in a men's room, I presume. Men tend to go to the middle stall. Where do women go? Not in the same room. So, okay, men, three stalls, all empty. Men will go in the middle one. Okay, where do women go in the same situation? Three empty stalls. Do they go to the right, they go to the left, or they go to the middle?
Well, they definitely don't go to the middle because that doesn't leave the buffer zone.
Very good thinking, Craig. Honest to God. Huh. I can see why you're at a nonprofit there. That is very good thinking. Okay, leaves the left or the right?
Well,
you know, you guys know a woman well enough to be told this happens?
And
when they go together,
right.
Two women go together, then what? That would be a factor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they would split, and one would go to each. And
yeah. And once again, no middle. So that
and
makes
if
sense.
They went three, and we'd be.
I don't know
really
why they do that. I never knew why they did that.
I know in amusement parks, people pick the right-hand line more frequently.
So you're saying to the right?
Let's go.
That's
right.
What I'm leaning towards.
To the right, yes, to the right. Although to the left is very close. Holy cow, they've won everything. Congratulations, gentlemen. I knew you'd pull this off.
Oh, and I should tell them what they won? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say anything. I'm just looking at you. And,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then what would you like me to do?
I would like you to say what they want.
Oh, well, wonderful. I'll do that. Hey, Dominic, you can bring back memories of your Italian childhood, real or imagined, with a jar of Carmella's House Marinara Sauce from Carmella's Bistro in Appleton, made with love shared from the heart. And
All right.
Craig, you'll start your day with the way the What Do You Know audience does, although apparently I didn't this morning, with Steep and Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee, and continue the good Java vibe with rich and smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee, coffee done right. And each of you can celebrate 30 years of scintillating radio comedy wearing the What Do You Know XXX t-shirt, not much since 1985, and entertain friend and foe alike playing the What Do You Know The Party Game, including contestants, questions, cards, and the youthfully dapper Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
All right.
I don't know about that dapper part there, youthfully dapper.
Thank you so much,
thanks,
Michael.
Thanks, Dominic. Thanks for playing.
I really
nice
appreciate it.
Yeah, great awesome. To see you. Craig, hang on. Make sure you get all that stuff. Thanks for playing.
All right, thanks, Mike. Big fan of the show.
Thank you. Okay, all right. Hi, gentlemen.
How you doing?
We got a little time here. You feel like playing a little something?
Yeah, this is a tune by the original psychedelic man, Mr. Richard Rodgers.
Yes, love Richard Rodgers. Love him.
Live from the Winona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour, this hour of What Do You Know, it's Happier Star, Catherine Hahn, plus thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who made me what I was earlier, Michael Feldman.
What? I did what? Yes, but who made you what you were yesterday is the question.
I don't know. That was the worst intro ever, wasn't it? Round of applause for the worst intro ever.
No. Why? What was so bad about it?
Oh, it wasn't? Oh, okay.
You think the delivery was bad? Or the...
Yeah, my delivery, yeah.
Want to do it again?
No, okay. I'd rather not.
Okay. Here's some of all the news that that is. You know, we do all the news that isn't. That usually doesn't work, so we try all the news that is. And it's always around here, you know, somewhere around here, because that's where we are. And, this is not a big deal here, but on tap today, and the Brewers and Pauly Shore in Milwaukee. What a day. The Brewers and Pauly Shore. I was just saying. Oh, and, of course, the Dustin Diamonds thing, you know, Port Washington there. I guess where he's on trial, actually, in Ozaukee County Court, right? Is that Port Washington? Same thing? Yeah. Because he stabbed a guy because he's been screeched too long, too late in life. And I say, let him go. He suffered enough at a screech. So I guess he was convicted just of misdemeanors, though. Just of being screech as a misdemeanor. But this one is a really good one here from La Crosse, updated Viroqua. It's Viroqua, isn't it? I always say it wrong.
Yeah,
Viroqua. Yeah, Viroqua, a man takes wild ride to retrieve stolen pickup. This could only happen, I think, in Wisconsin. I'm not sure. Possibly other places. Viroqua Dwight Zeitlow said profound calm and relaxation came over him Friday afternoon while he was lying in the bed of a stolen pickup truck hurtling down a road in east of Coon Valley at 70 miles an hour. This is a great story. I love it. So Wisconsin, I love it. I don't know what was going to happen, but I never thought I would die this way. I thought I would die of old age, Zeitlow, 55, of Viroqua, said. So I just relaxed and wrote it out. Zeitlow's pickup truck was stolen 3.5 weeks ago in Viroqua. The Viroqua man kept an eye out for it. He came across it Friday afternoon as he approached Coon Valley. In what Vernon County Sheriff John Spears characterized as a bizarre retrieval effort, Zeitlow, a self-proclaimed crazy old hippie, hopped in the back of the truck, a Ford F-150, after he blocked it at an intersection with his car. I lost my presence of mind, he said. and jumped in back. The driver was someone of Viroqua. According to Spears, he was since been apprehended in Hoka, Minnesota. He only goes to places that rhyme, apparently. He took off with Zeitlow in the bed of the vehicle for a half hour on rural roads and into fields, did donuts, drove through ditches, and tried other maneuvers to throw Zeitlow from the truck. Zeitlow said he had a lot of experience riding in the back of trucks in his youth. And during the harrowing ride, he braced himself while throwing items out of the truck to create a trail and draw the attention of law enforcement. I guess there's some breadcrumbs back there or something. There's a lot of junk back there. And I was getting it out to get attention, and so the junk would stop beating me up. One item, a chainsaw. Probably a running chainsaw, given Wisconsin pickup truck. Cut Zeitlow's leg, a wound that required 7 stitches. What's-his-name gave up near Sofia. Zeitlow said the truck was in a field and was speeding up. He saw something leave the vehicle through the corner of his eye. The driver had bailed, leaving the truck running through the field, Zeitlow said. The truck was, this is good stuff, isn't it? You can't make this.
It's dramatic.
Was headed toward trees, a playground set at a farm and a conspicuous propane tank. But wait, it gets better. I thought of going out the back, but the tailgate was hanging by a cable and flailing around. And that wasn't good, Zeitlow said. I thought about trying to climb into the cab because the driver's door was still ajar, but then I thought if I missed it, I might fall and get hit by the tailgate. So I just decided to hang on. The truck crashed into the trees first. Then that threw Zeitlow down from the vehicle, which hit the playground set and stopped short of the propane tank. Zeitlow said he sat in the yard near the totaled truck for a while before authorities arrived. He told his story to at least 5 different people. No one believed him. Okay. It was my truck, and I was there, but I was telling them I wasn't the driver, and I didn't know who was. So I can see why it took them a while to believe me, Zeitlow said. They were asking me how much I had to drink or were thinking I was on something. Zeitlow was not only cut in the crash, but also suffered a painful back injury when the truck hit a field furrow. Still, he said, the moment of clarity he had when he was able to relax, help prepare his body for the eventual impacts and final crash. I'm healing up surprisingly fast, but I am sore, he said. So there you go. That's tribute here to Baroque was Dwight Zeitlow for having presence of mind and a moment of clarity. Okay. I'm so excited. I have Catherine Hahn is online with us from Los Angeles in a parked car. Let's find out why right now. She is the star of a new show, by the way, on Showtime called Happiness with Steve Coogan. It's a great show. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's the best. And Catherine, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Can you do that crazy? Can you beat your car wheel and top of it and dashboard and do that crazy scream you did in that last?
I should, but maybe I just did. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I have two little kids, and it's a Saturday morning, and I just figured if you wanted to have not a lot of screaming children as ambient noise,
yeah,
maybe mommy took a drive.
Oh, so you're sitting in the, is it in your driveway, or is it, where did you?
No, I'm down the street. I went down the street to, we have a little farmer's market, so I picked up some stuff, and then I just kind of pulled over.
That's awfully sweet of you.
Sounds so bizarre.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
I love happiness. Don't you love happiness?
I do love happiness.
Yeah.
Are you talking about happiness just as a concept or happy-ish the show?
No, the concept, I never talk about the concept. It doesn't work for me.
Happiness. Well, the show is happy-ish.
Happy-ish.
Yes, I do love it. I love it so much. I love Shalom Auslander, our writer. I just think she's got such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful messed up brain.
Yeah,
that man.
Amazing.
Yeah,
and I love the unexpected things, like the show the other week where everyone, you and Steve Coogan as a couple, hated everyone who read the New York Times in New York.
Yes,
I thought that was unexpected. I think all these people are sitting here reading the New York Times. Why?
I know. It's kind of a gorgeous shot of everybody on that train.
Yeah.
Reading the paper, except for, yeah, I know. It's beautiful. They're like little short stories, these episodes, I think.
Yeah.
And they get like richer and deeper as the show, as the season goes on. Yeah, I could not be prouder.
Yeah.
I really couldn't.
And what's good about it is so much of it is you.
Now,
I mean, because we always get to see you as a person who comes in and does something really weird in a movie. But, you know. Like these strange moments that no one else could pull off, and you pull them off, and they're wonderful, and they're amazing, and I can't believe they both had their hands inside of her trying to deliver her baby in an organic food store. You know, that's a little unusual. Right? I mean.
I love, out of context, that is a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Image to probably imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's been an awesome couple of years in that department, just in terms of like, you know, being asked to play and get into these like very, just the real, real, very, you know, just like human behavior, like smaller work, which has been really, really, really satisfying. And yeah, I mean, Lee Payne is just the best. The part I play on Happy-ish, I just think she's just so rad. And
she's
I just
cool.
wish I had a little bit more of Lee in me, you know, in my sometime I'm learning a ton. I mean, she just is like says her truth, and it's so hard to do that.
Well, she's a little like, she's a painter too, and you're a painter, are you not?
I mean, I have dabbled with paint, yes. I would not consider myself a painter in any way. But I do love it. We had our couch downstairs in our living room for a while. We just got rid of it because we felt it was time. But we basically let them. We covered it with canvas and let them like graffiti it. It was very cool, actually.
Very cool. Good idea.
Kind of awesome. Yeah,
and
it was very, very fun.
You know what? When I say this is about you, I really like it because we knew from all these incidents and all these movies where you were this guy, you know, kind of stole the movie. But it was totally bizarre. We knew there was a lot more to you, you know, and this in Happy-ish, we get to see that, as we did in the movie with the sex worker. That was good too.
Oh, Afternoon Delight. Yeah,
yeah.
That was my first collaboration with Jill Soloway, who's pretty,
who's a
fourth of nature. Yes, and she's awesome. That was kind of a turning point for me for sure.
Yeah,
that was that movie. Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is about me that I've kind of have been. Typecast in these kind of like unhinged for a very long time.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I went to school. I was like, oh, I wanted to be like a serious theater actress.
Yeah.
You know, that's still like my, and I think I was always kind of probably the class clown, though, to be frank.
Yeah. And you were a stage actor. Was that at Northwestern where you started?
Northwestern, and then I went to grad school at Yale. And then so there was just, it was just the best. Yeah, it was just kind of like a rigorous monastic 3 years where I just did nothing. We didn't, rehearsed Hamlet at 2 a.m. and I didn't have a television and I was the best. It was the greatest. And I knew that it wasn't going to necessarily like help my career per se. I was kind of taking myself out of the game at like an ingenue period. And I knew, but I also knew that I just didn't want to be, very naively probably just took on a ton of student loans. And just was like, let me just have this 3 years to just do the work and the roles that I would love to and just jump into everything and just have faith that it will, that it will all work out. But
you want to be a complex character once in a while.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would hope, too, that every, I never anticipated kind of like working in that big, big studio comedy world at all. But I really did find myself, it all comes from the same place, I guess. You have to root it in some, you can tell when something's real, real surfacey and when something's kind of rooted to just like a need. And I think that's always so much more interesting.
Yeah.
Even in those comedies.
Yeah. I got to ask you, though, are you actually Jewish or do you play Jewish?
No. I've always been playing Jewish, which I love. I'm married to a Jew for a very, very long time. But I myself.
So you paid your dues, but not your Jews. So much.
Yeah. Oh, I pay for Jews too, guys. I've been married. Yeah, my husband and I have been together we've been married 12 years. Yeah. Together like 22. And I was brought up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school like all through high school. And, this has been, and I have, I'm kind of like a recovering Catholic, if you know what I'm saying, but I've learned so much through this process of Transparent, that was a show in which I play a rabbi, and then also, Happy-ish. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. My first movie, I played a character named Michelle Rubin, which I should have known, was leading. I could not be more flattered. And I've been talking with this, and there's this amazing lady rabbi out here named Susan Goldberg, who's just been extraordinary to talk with, and she's been really patient. And it's awesome. I couldn't have anticipated it, but I really do.
Yeah. By the way, with Jane Lynch as your psychiatrist was like the best thing ever.
Oh, forget it. Awesome!
The interactions there were absolutely amazing. Perfect.
She's the most she's the most self-involved therapist. I love that part so much.
Yeah.
She had low blood sugar. I love that the therapist just had to like open up her quinoa and start eating during our session.
That she brought from home.
I can't handle this. That she brought from home.
Yeah. And she kept talking about her problems instead of yours.
Her perimenopausal low blood sugar.
And her relationship problems.
Now, it's good when you got to take care of your therapist.
Yeah, that's a bad thing. I have a little clip here from Happy-ish, if you don't mind. Would you mind? It's a couple of minutes.
No,
but
please.
You know what? Because I just think
I love listening to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah. Well, there's not much of it. You know what this is? I think it's like the most difficult comedy thing I can imagine. It's that scene where what's your character's name?
Lee.
Lee finally gets a chance to paint. They're in upstate New York, and she gets a barn that she can paint in.
Uh-huh.
And she's totally frustrated that she hasn't been able to, and finally gets it, and she's gleeful. And the guy who owns the barn comes in and starts interrupting her, first of all, and then talking. Puts her in a situation which is unbelievable, and it's all about your reactions to him.
Okay, good.
Do we have that?
Are you from New York?
Long Island. Jewish, self-loving, Holocaust. Theological ambivalence, disappointment to my mother, the whole shebang. Walter, I think I only have a couple more hours, so I think I'm just gonna get back to work. But thank you so much for stopping.
I lost most of my family in the camps.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
The death camps.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. In Poland. Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Well, who didn't back then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Life goes on.
Life goes on. Life goes on.
Not from my parents, though.
No.
My mother died in Auschwitz in the gas chambers. My father didn't, though.
No?
No, no. The typhoid. Bergen-Belsen.
Oh, right.
My sister, I mean, my older sister, Ruth, she was in the resistance.
Oh, wow. Good for her. Good for her.
Not for long, though.
No?
The Nazis found them about a week after she joined.
I see.
Shot her in the back of the head.
Ruth.
Point blank.
Yeah, sure. Oof. Wow.
My younger sister, Tamar, she survived Treblinka.
She did?
Of course, the liberators gave them all food. And she ate too quickly.
Uh-oh.
Died 2 days later. Diarrhea.
I'll do her.
Terrible medico. I knew others.
And that was you later in the car. I was just trying to get you to do up there on the street, Bonnie.
Good.
We had to transpose her expletive at the height of that, which is the best use of that word I've ever heard, by the way. But I said, can you make it, you know, sound like, run it backwards, like cuff, you know. Because it's public radio, you know. But that, what an amazing scene. How hard was that?
I mean, well, we shot in Woodstock, in beautiful Woodstock, and apparently it was the coldest winter in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So the memory of that scene for me is basically having my sweet makeup artist come up and try to touch up around my nose and me just saying, like, honey, you know you've just smeared mucus all over my face. Like, we were so cold, so freezing in this barn. It was hilarious. And the gentleman who plays the old man is so good, so good.
Who is that, dude?
Donald Margulies, and he was in Ghostbusters. He was the mayor in the original Ghostbusters.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, among so many other things.
Yeah.
He's just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant actor, and we shot that at like 2 in the morning. He's so game, too.
He was so perfect in this.
So perfect. And also because when we had the first read-through for that, and we were all, there's so much of this script that you're like, oh, you read it, and it's like cringe. Worthy because it's a pretty really intense and dark scene, like what they're talking about.
It's an impossible situation in terms of
it's
reaction.
An impossible situation because she's like it's horrible what he's describing. It's absolutely horrible. And then this is it's her literally her 2 hours to be able to she's trying to reconcile like.
And plus, it goes
it's
on.
So good.
We had to cut out the part where he talks about his sister's cat and all the diseases and all the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes to the Holocaust to just like literally, her cat's, his sister's cat's diabetes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
those people
good.
Do are around.
Yeah. Did you try various reactions?
Oh, yeah. We went through it a gazillion. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It was so fun. I mean, it was very. When it starts to get like, oh, and then at a certain point, which they didn't use, which made me laugh, like we just kept repeating the word diarrhea. Because the end of that scene, because we are probably so immature. But he just made me laugh. And because the straighter you play it, the more you're like, oh, God, I could just, we just wanted to, it was one of those scenes where the crew is just giggling. Because the build is so perfectly written into the scene. I mean, Shalom wrote such a beautiful scene.
Yeah, amazing. And it's all set against our hero, our heroine's need to get her life back.
Yeah.
To herself.
Right. Her need to like for meaning. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And finally gets this barn. That freak out that she has, which is kind of like a theme through the season too, which I love. That she just has these moments, which I think a lot of us do, which is just like take it out. You know, like I love that image of that woman just like freaking out in the car, and then there's an episode coming up in which she does the same thing and hears something and looks over and sees another woman in a car doing the exact same thing.
That frustration. You do that frustration amazingly well.
Honey, I like to work it out on camera. That's
my thing. Yeah. Does that occur in real life too? Are you able to do that? I mean, because
no,
that'd be a jerk.
I wish. actors that you talked to would say the same thing. Like, I feel so much more fearless in my work than in my real life. I mean, for sure, there must be something, of course, in it that's, you know, and I'm a pretty, you know, not, I wouldn't say fearful, but I'm like a cautious human. I'm definitely more optimistic than Lee Payne, for sure. But I there is a freedom in the work, like this, the jumping. I've got two kids. I have a hubby. I've got like the sweetest house. Like, I love my life. Love my family, and there is, like, I think it's like this, like, awesome little, like, rebellion valve that you can have when you're working that's kind of feels good.
Do you get to work with animated characters? I've only seen the first five, I guess, so far, because Steve Coogan gets to actually sleep with a Keebler elf in the because he's an advertising executive.
Yes. I have like a relationship with Dora the Explorer. and that is a feeling. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happens in the season.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, we are able. I couldn't believe it when we first jumped into it too, that they could use the actual names of these, like, products and, you know, characters and all. And they just walk the fine.
Yeah,
what
they did with the Keebler elves, and most of it was obscene, and there is a mass murder among the elves. How do they get permission from Keebler for that?
There is, and I'm going to say it wrong because I shouldn't be the. But there is apparently a difference between parody and satire. There's some sort of a legal loophole that they're able to like slip in.
Yeah. I love that the when he's doing, because he's a disaffected ad executive, account executive.
Yes.
And very disaffected. And
this
thing that, with the Nestle water thing, that he hears about while he's on his commuter train, has just killed a passenger on the tracks before pulling into the station. So he's stuck there in the train. So there's all that going on. And he's listening to this pitch from the Nestle's water people about how they are the answer to pollution is Nestle's water in a bottle.
That's right, because it's the clean water.
Yeah.
That was their pitch, yeah.
And that's the pitch. And he's going crazy with all this type of thing going on in advertising. You know?
Yes.
So it's so cool.
It's a comedy.
Yeah. And what's cool about them as a couple is, at least the way it's set up, is he does the Catholic take on all this angst and anxiety and anger or whatever it is, and disaffection, and she does the Jewish take on it. And they work very well in tandem, I think, the two takes.
Well, it's kind of like the same, you know, really it comes from the same, you know, pool, I feel like. But that's the thing that was really imperative to us. And what was so beautiful about the script, and these two people are you know, like, so much for whatever they're searching for and not getting or dissatisfied with. Like, the one true joy is their family. Like, that's like it was really important for us to show, like, a marriage that are it's a partnership. Like, they're really they. If they could just, like, chip off, like, a chunk of the ice of the glacier and just, like, kind of just, like, float off into the ocean, just the three of them, they would be so – that's all they would want in the world. They just want to protect that little family. And, you know, that was really important to us, to show that the love between them was not going to be the source of any sort of drama. You know, usually you see it, somebody in these shows, like, you know, the like, itch, the, like, you know, not satisfied with the mayor, like that. And it was important for us to say, like, that was not the source of it.
Right.
It was their marriage.
And she's such a great character. I mean, the way she tells off the mother of the child, that was bullying her child at school, and then.
I know.
Who
was
everybody's
favorite.
That was amazing.
Yeah. There was a great scene in the pilot, in the original pilot, like a flashback, which was not, there was not ended up not in the one that we shot, but there's a flashback of them with their very young child. They have a son named Julius, and when he was a newborn, they were taking there's a great scene of us on a plane. It, when introducing the character of Lee, it was like a flashback to us on a plane, and I'm trying to, like, nurse him on this plane, and he's screaming, and it's crowded, and it's like, the woman in front, you know, keeps turning around and, like, giving evil eyes. And then she just lets this woman have it in the best way. in a way that I just remember as a mom of two and being on planes and that horrible feeling. Oh, I wish I could have done that as a mom myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But that definitely was like when I read that, I thought, oh, I want to play this person.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Superb.
I love it. Because it's like, it's just everybody's doing the best they can. It's like, the, you know, and everybody also tries to justify their decisions by judging everybody, especially when you're a new parent. That's what I feel. And I love that you just call people out on it. It's just awesome. Awesome.
Well, once again, it is called Happy-ish. I got that right this time. It's on Showtime. It's a great show. You should really be watching this. And what's Steve Coogan like to work with? Pretty cool guy, I bet.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah, he's the worst.
It's been a nightmare.
No, pretty bad at that.
I get it. Yeah, I'm post-traumatic. No, he's...
He's so smart, though. Yeah. Isn't that a drag? Someone that, I mean, he's so educated or something.
He's so smart.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's sometimes... he's the best. He's as silly as they come. I really love him. But at the beginning, it was... It was very, you know, he's such a, like, a comedy scientist, and he's so, like, his joke, you know, he's so clean, and he's, like, and I always, and he's, you know, his voice is so beautiful, and he dresses so well, and he's, like, he's so, such a gentleman, and I would just be, like, this rat-haired little cousin, like, sitting next to him, just, like, a mess, and I always felt like, I was, like, oh, I gotta get it together, I can barely find a noun.
He's
awesome.
It works, though. It's a working couple. Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Catherine, so much for parking and talking with us.
Thank you, guys. Have a good rest of your day.
Real pleasure. Catherine Hahn, ladies and gentlemen, parked somewhere in Los Angeles. Oh. Happy-ish. Showtime. You got to see her. And you've probably seen her in a lot of movies, don't even realize. That she was the one who did that. Step Brothers. She was in Step Brothers. She was the brother's wife who got very fond of the step brother.
That was a funny
unexpectedly.
Clip. That was a funny clip.
Yeah. What a difficult scene. And I can't imagine doing that.
Well, she said at 2 a.m. They're probably like loopy by that time. So.
All right. Do you feel like something where the bass gets walked or something?
Yeah. We could work that out.
Well, technically, what does it mean to walk a bass? It means to not to carry it off somewhere. It means to
play like a four to quarter notes in a row. So it sounds like this.
So it's actually like you're walking somewhere. So more of a trot, maybe. Trotty. Okay. All right. We'll listen for it here.
Okay. Thank you.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
Let's hear it for my frames, ladies and gentlemen. Because it ain't the glasses, it's the frames. All right, dear Horn, can I get you to stand up here and just say hello? Because you wore a hat. You wore this hat especially for me?
Yes.
And is this a special hat? Let's see, people see who you are here. What's your name?
Gemma.
Gemma?
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty name. And are you from around here?
Yeah.
You are? Where around here?
Here.
Okay. You live in Madison, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And the hat is, it's kind of fuchsia, isn't it?
Hot pink.
Hot pink? To me, it's the same thing as fuchsia, but I don't know. But it does have lights that go on and off, and it's got a fuzzy thing around the end, kind of silvery fuzzy thing. And where'd you get that?
My Aunt Kathy.
She did?
Yeah.
Recently?
A year ago.
Was there an occasion involved?
The rodeo.
Oh, you went to a rodeo?
Yeah.
Did she get it at the rodeo? Is that?
I looked at it and I said I wanted it, and she got it for my birthday.
Oh, cool. And are you a rodeo fan?
Definitely.
Yeah. What do you like? What events?
The bulls.
You like the bulls?
Yeah.
No kidding. They look kind of scary, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're cute.
Yeah. Do you do anything like that yourself? I mean, not bulls necessarily, but barrel racing, anything like that? Do you do any horse?
No.
Yeah.
I have dogs.
Yeah. Barrel racing would be really good. You know, you get a little horse and you train it and go through those barrels. And
yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Just need a horse now. Get your aunt to get you a horse next time. Tell her you got the hat.
Yeah.
I need a nice pony or something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. And where are you going to school? Where's your school right now?
Randall Elementary.
Randall Elementary. My girls went there. The Fighting Raccoons.
I'm going to middle school next year.
Are you? Yeah. Which one are you going to?
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Where they went to. Hamilton. The Fighting. I forget what they are. At Hamilton. Pretty exciting. Are you looking forward to middle school? Or?
Not really.
No. You know, because the same thing with my daughter. Well, with Nora especially. She was like, by the end where are you going to school now? Randall. She like owned the place, you know. But then middle school, it's all different, you know.
Yeah.
You'll be great.
Thanks.
Okay. Any questions you have for me or anything?
Do you have any pets?
Yes, I do. I have a new little dog that is killing me. It was supposed to be a Bigapoo. A Bigapoo.
Yeah. We have a Chihuahua.
Oh, that's bad, too.
Yeah. His name is Topo Gigio.
Oh, that figures, too. That's from Ed Sullivan. You don't even, that was way before your time.
Yeah.
But, because, you know, Chihuahuas think they're a lot bigger than they are. You know.
Yeah. My I think our Chihuahua is, like, the only Chihuahua that's nice in the world.
It's nice?
Yeah.
It's relaxed?
Yeah, he's really old.
Oh, that's good. Well, that helps, I think.
He's, like, 14. Yeah.
14, yeah. I should be so old. 14 is not bad. My dog isn't. She's 7 months old now, and she's just crazy. She's insane. But she's really smart, and smart crazy, you know? Like,
yeah.
Really smart. She's supposed to be like half a poodle and half a beagle, but I don't see which halves are which or why is, or if that was really, it was from an Amish farm, you know, the guy. And who knows what goes on in the barn out there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And but, I mean, I love her and everything like that, but she's crazy smart. Last night, all right. So I'm trying to watch a movie on, like a Catherine Hahn movie, so I can know what to talk about her. Yeah. So I try to watch another room, and the dog is playing with a little tennis ball, you know? You know, those little ones like that, and they squeak and everything. All right, so you throw them, and then just to get her away from me, you throw the ball, and she goes to the next room, and she brings it back. But then about every third time I throw it, she ends up barking from the other room, and the ball has gone under this cabinet in the hallway, which it shouldn't be able to get under. Because the opening is about this big. The ball is a little bit bigger, and there's no way that it can roll under that. And it happened 4 times in a row. I had to go up, and she was barking, and I had to move this whole cabinet out of the way, and the ball is back. So the next time she's barking, I go back there, and I see her pushing the ball under the cabinet. You know, it's crazy.
I think she wanted your attention.
Apparently, and I had to move this damn cabinet. That's why my back is killing me. Yeah, so I thought it was coincidence all the time. I was rolling under there, but she was doing it.
Yeah.
Your chihuahua do stuff like that?
No, but he bothers my other dog.
Oh, you have another one?
Yeah. My dog, Leroy, they play fight, and Leroy always tries to eat Topo's paws.
Okay. As long as it's play.
Yeah.
Still got all four paws, though, at this point?
Yeah, he does.
That's cool. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a little something for you, too. What do we have that we can... Can we give her one of the T-shirts?
Sure, we can do that.
Yeah.
Or, well, actually, I was thinking we could follow the Instagram canine superstar across the country and find Momo from coast to coast, photography by Andrew Knapp from Quirk Books, which is a book.
Yeah,
about
and give
dog.
Her a T-shirt.
And a T-shirt, too. What the heck?
Yeah.
I don't have a copy for that, though. So
okay.
We'll just have to imagine a T-shirt in our minds.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Very nice to meet you. Good luck with everything. Good luck at Hamilton. It'll be fine. You'll love it. Oh, I was going through the rest of these that I didn't get to say hello to you, though. Do you want to say hello? Because you dressed so pretty for the show. Did you pick the dress out yourself?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It's got pink flowers on a blue background, and there's some blue flowers in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find it right away and just walk in there, and there was that dress?
Yeah.
It's amazing. You have very good taste.
Thank you.
Do you like to dress up a lot, dresses and such?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You have a large wardrobe of things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. And the shoes to match it there, the blue, very perfect.
I thought of it.
Yeah. And your hair is lovely, and you got that going there. And what's your name?
Beatrice.
Beatrice, and a beautiful name. Beatrice is a beautiful name. A poet, and a very famous poet was named Beatrice.
There's also a book called Beatrice and Beer.
Beatrice and Beer?
Bear.
Oh, a bear. Oh, no, Beatrice and Bear. Well, I was thinking of a different book. Okay, well, very nice to meet you, dear. You want to say hello to anybody while you're here?
Mm-mm.
Say hello to a teacher or something and get a lot of, you know, get a good grade just for saying hello? Or a friend? I don't know. Okay. All right. Thanks for coming, dear. It's the children's hour. Okay. You guys feel like talking? I don't want to leave you guys out of it. You're sitting there through this whole thing, and they're shaking their heads, and they're slumped down in their seats. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. But I'm sorry. Yes, okay. It's good. Wait, yeah, come on over here. Yeah. Stand up for a second.
We're from California, and we want to understand what's this stuff call it falling from the sky.
I saw that. That's why I threw it away. I mean, I got that. It wasn't in fashion. Yeah, it doesn't rain out there, huh? It doesn't rain in California, but how's the rest of that song go?
I forget. It pours. It pours.
What?
It pours.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But don't steal our water is all I'm saying. Yeah, no, but I mean, you guys will do it. You'll dig a ditch from the Great Lakes all the way down to San Bernardino, and then we're out of water. So, okay, good luck to you. I hope that changes. Okay. Next, this is all random, so it could be you. Ash Gosain. Did I speak to Ash? Yes. Hey, okay, I talked to you. Okay. I talked to you already. Who has your oldest guest been? Well, how old are you? 39? No, you're not him. We had him older than that. I don't, oldest? Why would that interest you, Ash? It's age related.
Just morbid curiosity.
Morbid curiosity is the best kind. It's better than morbid obesity, I say. I don't know who is their old. I don't know. Who knows these things? I don't know. Yeah.
Kurt Vonnegut. He was pretty old.
Yeah, I don't know. We've had a lot of old people on various ages. Thanks for stopping the show to a dead. it's random, though. What can you do? Michael, who are you wearing today? I don't know. Can you see what it is if I bent? Can you see who I'm wearing?
Kmart.
It's wrinkle resistant, traditional fits.
Oh, yeah. L.L. Bean. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm wearing L.L. Bean today. Where's Jerry Whitley? Okay, hey, Jerry. What are you wearing?
Edouard Barrier.
I'm sorry?
Edouard Barrier.
Ooh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, L.L. Bean. Also French. Eddie Bauer. Oh, Eddie Bauer, of course, yeah. I should have got that. I'm sorry. That was good. Very good. What are you wearing today? What is the most money you have paid to FIFA? I didn't even know what FIFA was until a couple of days ago. I'm shocked to hear that soccer is somehow regulated. They should, and that's called football. You know, I mean, that was a shock to me right there because that's the F is for football, apparently. But I always thought there's something wrong with that sport. All the flopping, you know, way too much flop. And not the basketball players when they do it are pretty good at it. You know, they give you a really good thing. Like, you know, it's like sort of like punching yourself in the face. You know, if you do it right, it looks really good. And basketball players can do that, but the soccer guys just, you know, just fall down. It's stupid. They should investigate them. Sue them all, I say. When will Scott Walker run for FIFA president? Jan F. from Peachtree City, Georgia. Ooh, that sounds nice. Is that nice, Jan? Yeah. No, they're still here. Still here. Hang on. Peachtree is a very famous city, isn't it? Peachtree City? Yeah, is it? Is there history to it?
I wouldn't say it's famous, no.
It's famous for us.
Yeah.
Because we live there.
Okay, well, that was worth doing. Okay, but I'm saying, stop it!
Sorry.
Oh, you they jumped when I yelled it. At you. What do you think I do when
they
you
told me to do it.
Sound that thing?
It wasn't me. I'm
How
just
are you today?
Working
good?
As a...
I'm good. Yeah. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much.
You bet. I always introduce new people. These are my niece and nephew, but I'm not the aunt who bought the hat. Yeah, you know, I'm not that aunt.
You can be the one who gets the horse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. She should ride a horse.
She should.
Yeah. That'd be very cool. All right. So we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because there's time for it. And that's what we do. And you want to do it, really?
Yeah, I do.
You feel confident and composed? And
yes.
How are you doing over there at Randall?
I'm doing good.
Grade-wise, pretty good?
Yeah.
What's your best subject?
Reading. Reading? And math.
And math, okay. All right, why not? Come on up here. Gemma, that's right. All right, Gemma, because you are the future. And so that's why you're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, because if you can play this, you can do pretty much anything in life that you may encounter. Okay, I'll get you to move up a little closer, this way, honey, so we can hear you. Okay, and it's math and reading questions mostly? What you want? What are you reading right now, for example?
Not really anything.
Oh, okay.
I guess I was just reading The Carnival at Bray.
Carnival at Bray?
Yeah.
What's that about?
A girl that moves to Ireland and then goes to Rome to fulfill a dying wish.
Hers or someone else's?
Someone else's.
Okay. Sounds like a great book. Sounds very good. Gemma, someone out there plays along with you, and how's that work again?
Yes, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW. Or rather, WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. Here's the question. If you have a set bladder, what have you got? Obviously, a condition of some sort. If you have a set bladder, what have you got? That's okay. That's we're waiting. We got one guy's been on the phone here, I think, all day. But let's go to him because he's been very patient, waiting on the line there in Carbondale or Carbondale. Is Dan?
Yes.
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
What you up to?
I'm waiting in line to dump my hazardous chemicals in a collection.
What hazardous chemicals do you have there?
It's just house paint. Nothing too hazardous.
Oh, house paint. Okay. All right, so you thought you'd kill some time by getting on the What Do You Know show, I guess. I understand that. That's a lot of people do that, I guess.
Every Saturday.
How long is the line, and where do you dump the stuff?
Well, it's a special collection. They do it like once a year at the Southern Illinois Airport.
Yeah.
I've been in the line for about 45 minutes already, and I'm getting close to the front.
Yeah, they just dump it on the runways down there, or what do they do?
That gives them a better target when they're coming in.
A little slick, though, isn't it? Some of those hazardous chemicals are slick. Yeah. All right, Dan, if you have a step ladder, what have you got?
A step ladder? I guess I don't quite understand the question.
That's a good answer, though. If you have a sep bladder, what have you got?
I haven't got a clue.
Oh, that's too bad. It's going to be a long wait now, huh? So close to having something to do for the next 45 minutes or so. All right. Sorry, though, Dan.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hang in there. Keith is in Cleveland. Hey, Keith.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. Are you waiting in line with toxic chemicals or anything?
No, I just deliver pizza.
Are you working now?
Of course.
Is somebody waiting for the pizza while you're doing this?
I'm on the way back to the store.
Oh, so. Okay. All right, so take your time. Don't worry. It's kind of early yet, though, isn't it? No, in Cleveland, it's already lunchtime, huh?
Well, almost 1 o'clock, and I've been here since 11, and I've delivered probably $600 worth of food.
Really?
Wow.
Making pretty good money, are you?
I don't know. I don't keep track during the shift, so.
No, of course not, for tax purposes. Okay. Keith, if you have a sep bladder, what have you got?
Oh, Michael, I have absolutely no clue.
Okay.
But I just wanted to shoot for the youngest possible combination of contestants that you've ever had, because I'm 29, and I figure, anything under 40 has to be...
Gemma, what are you, about 20, 26, 27?
I'm about 104.
She's very well preserved, though. Surprisingly well preserved. No, sorry, though.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Steve's in Springfield, Mo. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What up?
Not much.
No? What are you doing today? Anything?
I'm getting ready to take a trip to Corpus Christi and kayak for a week.
You're going to kayak in Corpus Christi?
Down in the Gulf. Yeah.
Are you going down the Mississippi to Corpus Christi, or are you?
Yes.
You
we're
are?
We're leaving here tomorrow. Yeah, we're heading down there and kayak fish for a week.
Now, wait a second. Are you going to kayak down to there?
No. Well, that would be fun. I could probably do that with all the rain.
Yeah.
I think we'll drive down.
You're going to drive down and kayak once you're down there. And what do you kayak in the Gulf itself?
Yeah. The goal is to catch big fish.
Oh. But aren't there many huge ships going in and out of their tankers and things, and wouldn't that be a little dangerous?
Well, we're hoping not, no. We're hoping not. It should be a good time.
I like your attitude. We're hoping not. It's a very good attitude to have. I wish I had that more.
Well,
let me ask you this, though, Steve. If you have a SEP bladder, what have you got?
Spell it. S-T-E-P bladder?
I'm not going to spell it because you're going to look it up. A SEP?
I can't look it up. I'm driving.
Okay. SEP bladder.
I don't know. Let's an infected bladder.
Yeah, it should be, but it's not.
Okay, well, right. Nice try.
All right, thanks, Steve. Good luck down there.
See you, man. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Good luck in that kayak there, in the fishing lanes. Susan's in Myrtle Beach. Susan, you know this, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you do. What is it?
A step ladder is a short ladder.
All right. Yes,
there you go.
Step ladder.
Yeah.
Very good. I don't know why no one else got that. I guess someone was sort of hinting at it was a ladder, but
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable when you think about it. People don't listen to the news anymore.
No.
No. How are you, Susan?
good. I'm staying in the AC today.
You're staying in the AC? Is it hot out there in Myrtle Beach?
Yes, it is. Hot and humid.
Yeah. Hot, when you say hot, what is that? I forgot what that's like.
I think it's going to 90 and it's humid.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a place down there in Myrtle Beach? Or?
Yes, I live down here. I just retired this year.
Oh, from where?
From school, from teaching.
Okay, but what part of the country?
And I was teaching down here, but I'm from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Good. Wonderful. Susan, this is
yes.
Gemma. She's your partner now on the quiz.
Very good. Hello.
Hi.
Okay, you two have bonded sufficiently, I think. So she's very smart, you know, so she'll be a good asset to you on this. The two of you work together and answer the questions from various categories that we have we not?
Yes, Carla? And the categories are current events, people, places, school, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Susan, let's pick the first one. What would you like?
How about people?
People. All right, women, this is women people, who think about the sort of thing that Irish, Jewish, or Argentine men are the sexiest.
Oh,
you don't have
wow.
to answer this.
Yes.
Unless you heard something to this.
Jewish? What is it? Jewish? Argentine?
Yeah. Irish, Jewish, Argentine. This was a...
I would say Argentine.
Gemma, you want to weigh in on it?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I'm sorry, it's Irish. Irish.
Oh.
Yeah, surprised me, too. I would have thought the Jewish would be a no-brainer.
Yeah. That's one wrong.
Don't worry about it.
Oh. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That really surprises me about the Irish.
Zero right and one wrong.
Okay, let's not go there.
And the remaining categories are current events, yeah. places, school, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Gemma.
School.
School it is. All right. What color is the sunset on Mars?
Does the sun set on Mars?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. You got to see it. It's gorgeous. The sunset, I'll give you a choice here. Is it blue, yellow, or red?
Red.
Or blue or yellow?
Blue.
They just discovered this, I guess, because of they got that thing up there, that Curiosity thing. Finally took a picture of the sunset, and it was surprising. Blue, yellow, or red?
What do you think about blue?
Okay.
Blue is right. Yes, it's blue. Sunset on the red planet. Isn't that going to be nice? I can hardly wait. So that would be?
That would be one right and one wrong.
Oh, okay.
Is this the winning thing, since we're so close to the end?
Yes, this is it. For all the beans.
Remaining ones are current events, places, science, or odds and ends.
Susan?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. All right. Okay. What did the Pentagon randomly send out to half a dozen states, including Wisconsin? In the news.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Gemma?
I'm stumped.
Okay. Didn't see this. Please. What's she yelling? Your
is that a multiple choice?
Something. No, it isn't. How about toxic chemicals?
Anthrax.
Anthrax is right. Holy cow. Nice work, Susan and Gemma.
And yes, Gemma, when something needs a little personification, you'll be ready with a handy tin of emergency googly eyes. 20 pairs with stick-on adhesive to make everything better, from Archie McPhee. Susan, for insights on everything from a guy having his own house to breeding in captivity, there's Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the CD My Life, the Musical from Terrace Books. And both of you can send the news
of
your
Gemma
quiz victory
too?
On a half dozen genuine archival quality greetings from Planet Feldman postcards, and fill the audio void between Memorial Day and the 4th of July with the red-blooded American music on CD of What Do You Know About Copeland, with patriotic liner notes from Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Hang on. We'll make sure you get that. Nice talking with you.
Thank you.
Gemma. She rules.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International.
Oh, yeah,
Michael
yeah.
Feldman, producer international.
Frenzy.
Adam Friedrich, producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannis, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
All right, sound like a much bigger crowd. Good. Wave. Do the wave while you're doing it. Oh, you can't applaud.